You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples. So the last couple weeks, we've had an incredible family with us, the Varnars from Cali, Colombia. And one thing I just want to say, when they are here, they're not guests, they're family coming home. And that's what we feel like when they're here. We love having them around. We also love partnering with them in Cali, Colombia to just see the kingdom there. We had a great team that was there just at the end of July, beginning of August, helping do VBS. And I know that there was some great stories there. I think they had 50, 60, 70 kids that came for VBS. So let's welcome Peter and Gloria Varnar up. They're going to share with us today.
It's cold in here, guys. Whew. It is so nice to be here. Like Greg said, we feel like we are so connected to you guys as a family. And that is a beautiful thought for me every time we celebrate something in the church. The first thing we want to do is share it with our NTC family. But also when we're going through the lows and plowing gets hard, then we think, oh, we just need to connect with our NTC family and ask for prayer. So I really want to thank you guys for all your support with prayers, with finances. Even when we're here, we're treated so well, and I feel like we don't deserve that. But I understand that it's family. So thank you so, so much for everything you guys do for us throughout the year. And please come and visit us. We have beautiful weather. We have good food. You guys have good food too, but we have really good food. And we have a beautiful church family that says hello to everybody. We chatted with a couple of people from church last couple of days, and they said, please say hello to our NTC family. So everybody says hello. We all love you there. We would love to see you guys there, and thank you.
Thanks. I'm actually not gonna use this one, right, Jason? Can I use this one? Yeah. Can I come down? Would that be okay with you guys over there? My head might show up a little bit more purplish, but because it reflections. Thank you. Appreciate that. And the reason I do this is because I feel a little bit more like I preach at home. We don't have a stage. We're on the same floor with everybody. And there's light. There you go. Thank you. So, like my wife said, we just want to say thank you. That's really what we want to do. And it's a great privilege for me to be here today, and for Pastor Greg to allow me to preach to you today. But first, I want to share a little bit about what we're doing back home in Cali, Colombia, because you guys are such a big part of this. And so about 2.5 years ago, we started thinking about maybe we should plant a church here in Cali, Colombia. And really, that thought scared the behihas out of me, to use a nice word. And I had lots of fears, a lot of trembling and excuses. One of the things that my mother always told us was my first reason. My mom said, my kids can be anything. This was her prayer to God. My kids can be anything they want in life, except for pastors. That's what she told God. And so, you got to be careful what you pray for, because both her sons became pastors. And my sister Mary is co-pastoring in a church as well. So, you got to be careful what you pray for. But the reason was that, often my parents, we grew up in church, and sometimes she thought that we treat doormats better than we treat pastors. So the reason was, I don't want my kids to go through that. We grew up in church all our lives. My mom is 80 right now, so there's a long time in church. And so she's seen a lot. And so she knows church is not always the best place for a pastor, although you... That's just what we do. And in the Netherlands, that's where I'm from. I was born and raised in the Netherlands. We have a saying, actually, that we, as a congregation, we like to keep our pastors humble and poor. So, welcome if you want to pastor a church in the Netherlands. Come on over. So, but when we started the conversation about, hey, maybe we should plant a church, that's not something you just have coffee and then start talking about that. No, that there's a thought process for years. But the first thing we said is what we're not going to do is we're not going to want to do this alone. And so when we seriously thought about and prayed. It was like, who do we partner with? And so when we started talking with Justin and Julie, that they've been friends for many, many years. I was the first one to know that Justin was going to marry Julie. That's right. And so there's been a long relationship there. And then later on, of course, we got introduced to Pastor Greg and Jessica. And then we came down here and met the whole team. And it's been great to be part of all of you guys. It's really family. And we feel at home here. We know so many of you. Many of you have already come down. And we hope that many of you will come down as well. And so what we didn't realize is when we became part of you guys as a family, we actually became not just part of NTC Messina, we became part of all the NTC family of churches. And that was really, really cool. So all of a sudden we have this other church that a couple of days ago we met with Bruce and Zoe from High Peaks Church. That was awesome. On Tuesday we'll be with Heather in Malone. Later today we'll be in Ogdensburg. A few months ago, we actually had a meeting with Don Curry in Cali, Colombia. So we're meeting a lot of the people here in the North Country, and like Pastor Greg mentioned, we had a VBS a few weeks ago, and many of you guys came. There's a team of 12 people that came from the North Country. They represented four different churches. You might recognize some of these people. Four different churches from the North Country came, and then our local team also consisted out of four different churches. So we had eight churches represented there together, extending the kingdom of God in Cali, Colombia. And that's awesome. And just to see the church, not a church, not just En Casa, not just NTC, but several churches coming together to extend the kingdom of God in Cali, Colombia was awesome. And of course, the enemy, like Pastor Greg talked about this morning, was working overtime, you know, trying to throw a wrench in the whole thing. But the people of God overcame, and we reached almost 70 kids. And we were very intentional with having kids there that did not go to church, that never went to church, that didn't have a church. So actually, we had some kids sign up from churches, and we told them, no, you can't come. Go organize it in your own church. No. But we really wanted this to be an outreach and reach lots of people. So that's what we did. And thanks to you guys. Thanks for your generosity. Thanks for praying for us. We reached many, many families. So right now, I just want to give you a really short history. And you can just show. So this is the place that we meet in. It's a small cafeteria on a beautiful campus. It's a Baptist seminary. And we meet there every Sunday at 11 o'clock in the morning if you ever want to come visit. And yeah, if you do like sunshine, come on over. We started with about 7 people in our home in April of 2022. Now we're averaging about 65, and I know pastors tend to, you know, up their numbers. So, but it's actually 65. I can show you the numbers. But for the Sunday after VBS, we actually had 125 people there. So we had an overflow area with a couple tents outside, and that is really our biggest prayer need right now, that you would pray for us, that God would give us our own building. The space is becoming too small. We can probably seat about 80 in there, but so with 65, it kind of already feels tight. And so we really need our own building, because every morning at 8 o'clock, the team comes. It's usually the worship team, just like here. We're the first ones there. And then we go to the second floor of the building to bring all the stuff down. So all the sound equipment. We don't have a whole lot of light, but lights and instruments. And then we have to set up the chairs every morning. Every Sunday morning is the same. And so we really need our own space, and we need more space. And so if you could pray for us, that would be awesome. Okay? We're talking about prayer. And I love that Pastor Greg is leading the church in the prayer. And it often starts, you know, God speaks to our lives as the leaders of the church. And it's probably what happened with Pastor Greg as well. Like, I need to pray more. And that's probably what God tells me all the time. I need to pray more. I don't pray enough. I'm supposed to be the pastor of this church. I'm supposed to lead people. And I don't pray enough. Lord, help me to pray more. And so I love that Pastor Greg is leading the church in the prayer. Because Jesus, when he often quoted the prophet Isaiah. And he says, my house shall be called what? A house of prayer. Not a house of cool worship music and lights and smoke, although that is cool. And not a house of social gatherings, although that's also what we need. It's not a house of inspirational messages, although maybe that's also what we need. But he says, my house shall be called what? A house of prayer. So this is what? A house of
prayer.
So we should pray. And I love that Pastor Greg last week too. He said, Jesus kind of assumes that we pray, right? Because they asked him, hey, Jesus, tell us to pray. And so he said, when you pray, not if. Now it's when you pray. So we base on that. So let's right now, let's pray before we get really into this, okay? Thank you, Father, for this moment. Thank you for the privilege of allowing me to share your word this morning. What a great honor it is, and what a great responsibility. Father, I pray that you would speak, not just me, my intellect or my brain, whatever, Lord, but I pray that you would speak. Father, that the words that come out of my mouth would be your words, not things that I've made up or heard somewhere or studied somewhere, but it'd be your word that be spoken this morning. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Move our hearts to seek you more and to get to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to just dive into the words. You know, I'm as a good pastor, I brought a Bible, but this is for show because this thing is in Spanish. It's not going to work unless you want me to read to you in Spanish, but it's not going to work, but it's here. I have the text right here. So let's if you have a Bible, and often now we say don't open your Bible, but turn on your Bibles if you have it. You can turn on your Bible. And let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 18. And we're just going to read one verse from that, and then we're going to read a couple other verses. And this is actually the beginning of one of Jesus' many parables that he spoke. And Luke says this in Luke 18, verse 1. He says, one day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Jesus says, you should always pray and never give up. And of course, then when we look a little bit further on in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, never stop praying. Or other translation says, pray without ceasing. Right? If you like that word. This is easy for me. Never stop praying. Speaks to me, to my brain. Okay, never stop. And then Colossians 4:2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and thankful heart. How many of you are devoted to prayer? Yeah, right? So I find out that prayer is very powerful, right? Do you know that prayer is powerful? You know this. But it can also at times be slightly confusing. Confusing. Sorry, my accent. I have three languages going on in my head. So sometimes it's confusing. Because sometimes I pray and God moves in incredible ways. Just this week I prayed for something and God answered within 24 hours. But there's other moments when I pray and nothing happens. Nothing happens. And I pray in a similar way, with the same faith, to the same God, and nothing. And it's often that, you know, and I believe in God with all my heart, and I know he could, but he doesn't. God is all powerful, yes, amen. But he doesn't do always what we want him to do. We know that he can, but he won't. And so prayer is great when it works. At least that's our expression, our explanation. When it works, it's great. But when it doesn't, we're like, what's going on? This is confusing. Like out of my own life, some examples. But first, in Joshua 10, God caused the sun to stand still, right? I'm like, wow, now that's a miracle. But here's Gloria, my wife and I praying for a friend of ours. Sarai is her name. She worked with me for many years in Portland Bible College, or in City Bible Church, now Manor House. And mother of two beautiful little girls, married, battling cancer. And so we're praying. Her kids are praying. Her husband is praying. The entire church is praying, and it's a big church. And she passed away not long ago. It's confusing. Elijah prayed fire upon these 800 prophets. And the fire of God came, burned up all the prophets. Great miracle. But then my wife and I prayed for my son, who has a condition in his feet, and we prayed, Lord, we don't want him to have surgery. You can heal him. We believe you can heal. But instead of God healing my son, the first surgery took place, and they messed it up, so he needed two more surgeries. So now we're down to 3 surgeries. And we're like, that's confusing. And sometimes we pray and God answers directly. And sometimes it takes a long time. Like for 3.5 years, we prayed for a car. Thanks to you guys, I don't know if you can show me, we now have a car. But it took us 3.5 years of praying for this. Thank you very much, by the way. This is an awesome car. It's a 2015 Honda Pilot with only 55,000 miles on it. It's an awesome car. The nicest car I've ever owned. But thanks to you, we got it. But we prayed for 3.5 years first as a family. By the way, our car has a name. It's called GAP. God answers prayer. Right? It might take a little time, but my kids called it GAP. And so this is my question then. So why does God sometimes not answer our prayers? You know, you prayed, you believed, you did everything right, and still God didn't do it. And so the question is that. Why does God not answer my prayer? Now, if you want the answer, go ask Pastor Greg. Because I have no idea. Now, I honestly don't know why in your specific situation God doesn't answer. But I believe the Bible gives us 4 reasons, and 2 of these, probably 3 of these, we can actually do something about. So this is why I want to give this to you, this message this morning, about 4 reasons why God probably doesn't answer our prayers. Now, I know that this is not a very Pentecostal type message. If I was more of a prosperity teacher, I would just say, 4 ways to move the hand of God, right? That's how I would preach. This message is more like 4 reasons why he didn't, okay? So bear with me. We'll get to a positive point at the end. So the first one is a broken relationship. Your relationships are not in order. That's the first thing that I can think of when we talk about why God doesn't answer our prayers. Mark 11, verse 24, 20, and 25 says this, "I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it, it will be yours." Now, it would be great if the Bible stopped right there. And if I was the prosperity type preacher, I would say, amen, brothers, that's it. Go home and have a great day. Just believe that. But there's always, we got to read in context. When we read the Bible, we cannot just take one verse and say, you know, everything is possible, blah, 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 and that's great. And I see those verses all the time, but there's conditions before and after. So verse 25 says this, "But when you are praying," not if, it's when you are praying, "first." And this is a hard one. "First, forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against." Anyone. Yes, your ex whatever person. Ex-neighbor, ex-husband, ex-wife. Well, your children can be ex, but you get me. Anyone. We have to first forgive. And that's what we see Jesus do, what God did. He says, "I'm going to send you my son." And in Romans it says that he sent us his son while we were still what? Sinners. So he chose to forgive first. And then, now hopefully you will turn to him. So first we do this, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. So the implication is here, is this, that our relationship with other people matters. When we pray, it matters to God a great deal. You know, as parents, if you have kids, and our kids never fight. Lies. They fight all the time. They fight and fight and fight and fight. And he did this and she did that and blah, 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 blah. And my favorite one is, "He looked at me weird." Okay, he looked at me weird. So, and then they say, "Can we have candy?" No. "Can we stay up late?" No. It's my favorite word, by the way. My kids think that's my favorite word. No. I say no. No. You cannot. Why not? Because you're fighting. You're my children, and at least between my kids, I want you to love and respect each other. And so I cannot give you what you want until you obey me. I want you to love and respect each other as my children. And there's 2 more things I want to say. Matthew 5, verse 23 says this. "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar," so this is talking about giving your, maybe your tithe and your offering, right? "And then remember that your brother or sister has something against you. It says, don't give it quite yet. It says, leave it there. And then first, again, first, that same word, first, before you give your tithe and offering. Sometimes we step out in obedience, we tithe, and we give our offering, but we don't see the blessing in return. Well, this could be maybe the reason, because we're not right in our relationship with the people that God has put in our lives. And he says, first, go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. So relationship with people impacts our relationship with God. Now, husbands, this is a fun verse for you, but I think it applies to everybody, but this is especially to the husbands. It says in Peter 3, verse 7, it says this, in the same way, you, husbands, must give honor to your wives. Treat your wives with understanding. Side note, doesn't mean you have to understand her. We will never will, but you have to treat her as if you do. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. Because we do live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your, and I love this, your equal partner. Amen. Come on, where are the women in the house? Your equal partners. Yeah. Come on, in God's gifts of new life. And then it says this, treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Wow. Husbands, ever feel like your prayers are hindered? Start treating your wife the way God wants you to treat them. And so, I think I made my point. I'm sorry I'm staying on this a little bit too long, but your relationship with other people may impact your relationship with God. Why is this? It's because the other person is a son or a daughter of God. That's why. Your wife is a daughter of God. So when we treat people in a way that is not loving and not respectful, not kind, it affects our relationship with God. Okay? Second point, quickly. God may not answer because you have the wrong motives. You may have the wrong motives. I don't know about you, but I have these prayers sometimes that are selfish. Like I drive up to a Walmart, and we don't even have a Walmart, but and I said, I want that parking spot near the door because it's raining. Lord, give me that parking spot, please. Right? Really, are we going to bother God with those prayers? That's my idea. Sometimes we don't need to pray or we shouldn't pray for certain things. You guys know John B. Christ? Christ, sorry, his last name, not Christ. Christ, John B. Christ, in the comedian. Familiar with him? Look him up, he's hilarious. But he tells this story about his family chat. They have a family chat. And his sister, one day writes in the chat, please pray for little Malachi, he's having a really tough day, right? And so all the family members are chiming in, like, yeah, we're lifting him up in prayers, sending praying hands emojis, right? That's the fast way. Nobody's actually praying, but anyway. So they're saying, oh, we're praying about him. We're bless his heart. And so John says, well, before I pray, before I put this up before the God of the universe, I want to know what I'm praying for. So he says, so what's going on with little Malachi? And instead of her writing back in the family chat, she writes in the back door, writes him directly, and says, well, little Malachi has tendonitis from holding the iPad too much. John goes, not praying for that. So sometimes we got to know what we're praying for and what our motives are. Maybe if you're a business person, you say, God, please bless my business, but you refuse to tithe. Maybe God will not answer that prayer. Or you pray for an increase in your income, but you refuse to be generous. And I'm not, I don't really like talking about giving money to the church or to us as pastors, but it's a biblical principle to be a generous person. And so you want God to move on your behalf. This is one of the ways we can do this, is follow God's commands and be a generous person. James 4 verse 3 says this, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. I love this translation. Your motives are all wrong. You all want only what will give you pleasure. So maybe God is not answering your prayers because one, you have a broken relationship, or two, you have the wrong motives. Number three, another reason. Maybe, and this one is maybe a little harder to change, but maybe you didn't actually believe that God would do it. So you were lacking faith. Mark's gospel has a really good illustration of that. There is a dad who has a son that that an evil spirit is bothering his son, and it's so bad that the boy can't speak and he's foaming from the mouth, and an evil spirit comes over him and tries to throw him in the water and tries to throw him in the fire and tries to kill his son. And the dad is desperate, and so he takes his son to the disciples, and he says, hey, you guys are the guys that are the closest to Jesus. Can you do something? And they try and they pray and they're trying to cast out a demon. They can't do it. And so in chapter 9 of Mark, the father explains the situation to Jesus, and he says this: it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. And then the father says this, he says, but if you can, he wasn't quite sure because the disciples couldn't do it, so I'm not sure if Jesus can. He says, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus is almost offended. He's like, do you not know who you're talking to? But he says, what? If you can, said Jesus. If you can, maybe the accent should be, if I can. Everything is possible for one who believes. And I love the response of the father. He says, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And I love this as a father, as a husband, and now as a pastor. There's moments that my faith is weaker. When I talked to you about the car that we got. After praying for a car or the same thing for 3.5 years, it becomes a little harder sometimes. And so we used to pray at dinner time or lunchtime, whatever, with the kids. And my standard response at some point would be like, well, why don't you pray for the car? And I was like, well, I'm just going to manipulate God, have a child pray for it, see what God. Right? That was me. But it was really my lack of faith. And my kids never gave up. They kept praying and praying and praying. And so that's why we have the car, not because of my faith. But what I do want to say is that our faith matters to God. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It is by faith, the word says, that we are made right with him. And it is faith that honors God. So faith matters to God. We got to approach him with faith. And now the last point number 4. And maybe the worship team or whoever wants to help me on the piano would be great. The 4th point is this. Maybe God has something different for us. Now, if I was a preacher, I would say, God has something better, right? But maybe from God's perspective, yes, it is better. It's always better. But from our perspective, it's just, that's different, right? That's different. And so God has something different. And even though we may think, well, in my logic, this is the best. But in God's economy, it works a little bit different sometimes. In God's ways are better than our ways, higher than our ways. So sometimes it's really good that we don't get what we're asking for, right? So sometimes we just have to let God do his thing. Paul, in the New Testament, it talks about the thorn in his flesh. We don't know what the thorn in his flesh was. It could have been a number of things. Maybe he had problem with his eyesight. Could have been that. Maybe he said sometimes I don't speak very well. We don't know what it was. Could have been a person. Anybody here has a person in your life that's like a thorn in your flesh? Yes? Okay, right. But Paul prayed 3 times. And I don't think it were just 3 simple little prayers. It probably were seasons where he really interceded. He pleaded with God. He said, this is holding me back. This is bothering me. It's not letting me move as fast. Or whatever the case may be, he said, please, God, take this out of my life. And this is Paul, the guy that wrote 1/3 of the New Testament. This is the same Paul that traveled for 30 plus years and preached the gospel in all the Middle East. The Asian part of the Middle East. Do I say that right? Anyway. And I'm thinking that Paul's relationships were probably good as much as it depended on him. And his faith was strong. He didn't have the wrong motives. But still God didn't take that away from him. And so what God revealed to Paul is this. It says in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, it says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in what? Weakness. Oh, no, we don't like that, especially the man around here. I'm not weak. I'm not going to say that I'm weak. I will never say I'm weak. But Paul learned that his grace was enough, and then he says this, I am glad to boast about my weaknesses. So what? So that the power of Christ can work through me. And so I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's like, I really want this house, or I really need this job, or I really want to marry that person, right? Maybe you've prayed and you don't understand. And it's okay to ask questions to God. I believe God is totally okay with that. You know, God, why did you not do this? Or why did you not take away this thorn in my life? And God may, in his own way, show you in his own time. But he'll show you this. He'll say, my grace is still enough. My grace is sufficient for you. His grace is all you're going to need. And so the question is this, why pray? That's a fair question, right? I mean, if I got to make sure that this is right and that is right and this is good, and then maybe I have all of that in order, my relationships are right, I have the right motives, I believe, and then God still doesn't do it. So why pray? Well, here's this. The purpose of prayer is not to get God to do what you want. That is not the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is relational. The purpose of prayer is to get to know God and to do His will. That's the purpose of prayer. I could probably find another 6-10 examples of why God might not listen to our prayers, but this is really the purpose of prayer. Because so often, and you know, you've heard this before, especially those that are married, if I just come with a list of things I want my wife to do, that's not going to be good for our relationship. But if we just want to sit down and talk, we just had a great time, the two of us in Lake Placid, and all of us just sitting down and talking, and a lot of eating. But it's about relationship. And prayer, if nothing else, reminds me all the time that I am not in control. And it keeps me close to the one who is in control. So with everything in me, when I pray, I always believe God can. And I always believe that God will. But even if he doesn't, this is the good news. And I came just to maybe tell you this. Keep believing. Keep praying. Because my faith is not based on what I see. My faith is based on who God is. My faith is not in faith. My faith is in God. So it's not in a what, it's always in a who. And so, if this morning, if you find yourself a little bit in a prayer slump, what do you do? Well, my answer is keep on praying. Keep on praying. Why? Because the purpose of prayer is not to get to do God what you want, but it's to be in a relationship with Him. Amen? Can I ask you to stand with us, with me, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, where we see that you are an all-powerful God. You can. And Lord, we believe you will. But even if you don't, Father, we stand upon the promises. Lord, and our prayers are not just for you to do what we want. Lord, we want to get to know you more. Father, as your congregation this morning, we come to you and said, Jesus, we want to know you more. I loved what Pastor Jessica talked about this morning, about going deeper. That's been the theme for our church this year. My first 6 weeks, we talked about Ezekiel 47. We talked about going deeper. Jesus, we want to go deeper in our relationship with you. Father, and if that means that sometimes you don't answer a prayer, but I get closer to you, so be it. Father, draw us closer to you. Father, draw us nearer to you. Father, we surrender our will on the altar and say, not my will, just like Jesus, not my will, not our will, but let your will be done in our lives. Father, thank you for this church and for this congregation. Father, I pray that the spirit of prayer would descend on them, that this house would be known as a house of prayer, of a people praying, pushing through the darkness, breaking through every barrier that the enemy has put up. And we come against the enemy. Take your hands off this church, of this town, of the North Country, in Jesus' name. This is ground that belongs to Jesus. And we declare the blood of Jesus over this church, over this town, over the North Country, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.